Good afternoon, church. My name is Tinashe. Firstly, thank you, Pastor Matt, for encouraging me to come here to encourage you. Believe me, it's not easy. And thank you, Martin, for making the slides. I'm here to talk for a few minutes about faith, to encourage all of us, including myself. I come from Zimbabwe, and I've been living in Maastricht for almost 4 years. And this time I've been coming to Damascus Road, and this time I've known Pastor Matt. He's a very encouraging fellow. Should hang out more with him. Today I'm talking about faith, because this is the most important thing. I've been challenged a lot more in my later years, because I grew up in Zimbabwe where Christians are the majority. I don't have to defend my faith. A lot of people are eager to want to know who God is. When I was a teenager, I think that's when I grew the most, because during that time, I read the Bible in Bible studies, which I read almost every day in high school. I don't know where we found the time, but knowing the Bible was the key thing. And so I'll end with that is the conclusion as well. So faith, what is it? I call it necessary faith, because it's a necessity in our walk as Christians. It's what makes us different from the Muslims. It's what makes us different from every other religion. It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and in the Father. I'm emphasizing the Trinity here because this is at the core of Christian doctrine. If you read other dictionaries, they'll tell you faith is complete confidence or trust in something. Here, our complete confidence and trust is in God. And by faith, we're trusting everything that is in the Word of God. And we're trusting that Jesus is his Son. And we're trusting that when he died on the cross, our sins were nailed there. And we're trusting that when he rose again, we became free. And this is very different. So if anyone thinks about Jesus any different way, it is a different faith from what I'm talking about today. So what is faith? There's a definition from the Bible which comes in the next slide. Most of what I'll be talking about is from the book of Hebrews. Here it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about what we cannot see. In other versions, it says it is the substance of what we hope for. This confidence is based on also historical fact. We know Jesus lived and he rose again. There's a lot of evidence to talk about that. At the same time, I haven't met him in person. I wish I had shaken his hand. If I did, I would know him. Then it's not about faith anymore. I have complete knowledge of him. And that confidence, though, points to the future. I hope to meet him someday and I can shake his hand. And this is the assurance of what we cannot see. And keeping on this path is very hard, because in life there are many challenges. A lot of things happen to you which make you doubt. Does God really exist? Does he care for me? Is he really real? Or is this a creation just to manipulate the mind? You'll hear a lot of things. I have a lot of friends who are atheists. And my conclusion has been, everyone believes in something. If your belief is in nothing, then that's your belief. And I make a conscious decision, I believe in Jesus. Of course, I like to know what's in the Bible and what's in history. For me, it aids, but it doesn't do the whole job. Because at the end of the day, everything is based on faith. And at some point, every tongue and knee shall bow down and shall proclaim. And I'm making a conscious choice that today I want to believe in him. And I'm sure everybody else will later on. Let's go to the next slide. So this is what faith is. We'll talk about why it's important. Before we go to the first point here, I want to give a brief background of the Hebrew people. This letter was written to Jewish people who had just become Christians. And in the first 70 years, Christians were being persecuted. It was really difficult. And they were beginning to waver. They were beginning to doubt. This Jesus who said he will come again, why is he not coming back? You know, 60 years is a long time. I'm barely over half of that. And I feel like I've lived a long time already. So these Christians were really in doubt. And this letter was written to encourage them to stay on the course. If you read the book of Hebrews, the focus is on Jesus. And Jesus being the high priest. And as a high priest, our Jesus is living and he's on the side, on the throne, or on the right-hand side of God. He's continuously pleading and interceding for us. This is a much better high priest than the one the Jews knew. The Jews had a high priest who went every year once into the Holy of Holies. But our Jesus is there all the time. And in this letter, there's a lot of emphasis to show that the way with Jesus is the better way. When we read other parts of the Bible, Jesus speaks of himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Not another way or another truth or another life, but it's very clear he is the way. So faith for these people was a key thing. Otherwise, they'll fall back into Judaism, or they will try to make a modification of Judaism with an addition of who Jesus is. But when Jesus came, he brought a new covenant, because the covenant is also sealed by blood. And with his blood, we have a complete new testament. If you read the Bible, it says Old and New Testament. That's where all this is connecting to. So with Christ, it's completely different. It's a better way. It is God sitting on the throne, interceding for you and me. And we can go to him anytime. And the Israelites from history, we learn that they couldn't go to the promised land, most of them, because they failed to be obedient to God. They began to doubt. Some were sent to see, what is this land like? And they go back and they say, oh, they're giants. We cannot really conquer these people. They begin to lose their faith in God, even though they were 40 years in the wilderness. And seeing God provide for them, they still disobeyed. So faith, first of all, it's not here, but it's an act of obedience. And we need to be obedient to God. The second thing is, it's important for us to approach God. When I was much younger, when I saw this verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6, I didn't understand it. Why should it be impossible to please God without faith? Why can't we come in any other way? This is the only thing which I know of in Scripture where it's a very clear thing. We need to have faith to come before God. I try to think of analogies. This morning, while I was taking a shower, I was thinking, maybe faith is like a passport. And this passport is the only one passport you need to get into the kingdom of heaven. If you don't have the passport, then you cannot go through. But the passport needs the seal from the blood of God, and it needs the seal also of the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to imagine. If you don't have a passport, you can't go through. So this faith, for me, it's a way in which we connect with God. And it says in Hebrews, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. For me, especially the last part is very encouraging, because there's a promise. When we sincerely seek God, we will find him. I don't know where all of you are in your walk with God. Some people struggle with faith for years. Some people believe just like that. But one thing is sure. If you're persistent, the Bible says he will reward those who sincerely seek him. From all the things I know about God in the Bible, he's faithful. I don't know of a time when he has not been faithful. So we can count on that for confidence. So faith is important for us to approach God. The next thing, which is in the first sentence, is it's important for us to have a relationship with God. If you cannot approach him, how are you going to have a relationship with him? There's no other way. So this is very key, and I wanted to share this with you guys. The next thing, yes, we know it's important. To the next slide. The word of God, for me, it's a big encouragement. And it's a big encouragement. I cannot put any more words to that. From it, I get to see how the disciples were growing in faith. And we read in the book of Acts. It's also called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Apostles. By faith, they were able to receive the Holy Spirit. And not because they were very clever, but they were sincere and they came before God and they asked for the Holy Spirit. If we read from Galatians, it says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You receive the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So everything is about faith. What you believe who Christ is. And to everybody, we can access God. Let's go to the next slide. So faith is important as a discipline. It's important to approach God. It's important for the relationship with God. It's important to receive the Holy Spirit. These are the main points to take home. Now, from the Word of God, when you look at the reference, John 20:31, but these things are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you live life by the power of his name. Jesus is the focus, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And what's in the Bible is written so that it can help us to believe. This seems obvious, but if you don't read the Bible and spend time to know what he has done, to commune with God and the Holy Spirit, you will not just grow in your belief automatically. So the Bible is central. This brings to the last point. How do we grow in faith? It's obvious. We need to read the Word of God. So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. So it's very important and key that we invest time in our relationship with God. Of course, when we invest time in our Bible studies, invest time with people coming here, it's all part of it. But also time individually with God is very important for us to develop and grow in our faith. So it's not something you can export or ask somebody to do on your behalf. It's a personal decision you make to connect with God. And there are many parts in Scripture, like in Psalms 34, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." My paraphrase, blessed is the one who has faith in God. Because when you have faith in God, you're able to connect with God and you're able to grow in your relationship in him. And thank you for listening. And may God bless you.
And I'm also very nervous. But I'm also very pumped, and because of two reasons. Because upcoming week, two of my best friends are coming from the States because I'm getting married on Saturday. Yeah, you should. Like, this is for you, Annelies, because... No, but I'm very nervous, but I'm also very, pumped because, those are very close friends and they are on the mission field themselves, so it's not easy to come here. So I'm very thankful also for the people in this church who made it available for them to come and to have, a place to stay and bikes and everything. So thank you very much. That's encouragement, because that's my talk for today. I want to share something about encouragement, and I put the title on, "It Takes Courage to Encourage," and why it is. Or why I put that there, I'll put it on later. But I just want to start with a short introduction. Like I just said, I'm getting married. I didn't say it, I don't know, because I'm getting married or so, but that was a meaning, you know. I work on a school, like most of you know that, and it's a secular school. And I think I was counting 80% of my colleagues are divorced. So when I said I'm getting married, they say, are you sure, you know, or... You can save all the money because you're going to pay it twice, because first you're going to get married, then you're going to get divorced, you know. And then someone else said, I think everyone needs to make their own mistakes. And I was like, awesome, you know. I thought the first time it was funny. The second time I was like, meh. And for the third time, and people in the South of America know this quote, it's like, God bless their hearts. You know, it's like your mental picture doesn't, match up with the way you were raised as a Christian, you know. But I was like... You know, I will do it differently, but I don't want to go into discussion with them. But what I want to say is that I'm very happy, and I need to make sure that I say the right people, but I'm very happy for this church, you know, because I'm not able to spend time with everyone so much, so I'm sorry if I don't call you out or so, but I'm happy for people who invested in me. I've been here, one or two more times, and people know that I like to learn all the time. So I watch people, that's also my profession. I need to watch children. But, you know, I watch people and I learn from other people because I'm very, eager to learn and to develop myself, you know. And I'm very happy for girls or women or whatever, but especially for the men in this church, you know. I'm very happy that Gustavo made some time for me, you know, to invest in me and to talk with me, like, how can I lead my family? How can I guide them with keeping God as a fundament, like a fundament in their relationship? I'm very happy for Matthew, our pastor, who is an example for me, who like how you need to lead, of course, the church, but also like a family and to be a father. I'm very thankful. I don't think he's here today, but I'm very, very thankful for Ayub. Like, I was a connect group leader, and Ayub and Ellie were hosting, but like, how he's a father, I hope I can reach that level once. You know, like, he's an amazing father. For Michael Johnson, because he speaks always, like, with a lot of respect, and he's always honoring his wife. You know, like, when she's not around, he still has talk. Like, when I was at his home, like, always talking with a lot of respect of his wife. And I think that's amazing, you know. And also for Eliakim, I was able to learn him better the last couple of months. Like, I see him as a very stable factor in his family. So I'm very thankful for all those people in this church, you know, who encouraged me to be a good father, to be a good husband, you know, to, even though I think I'm pretty stable, I wouldn't be shaken by the things people say at work, you know, I could care less. But sometimes you're just in a tough situation, and when you see these people around, you know, you get encouraged. So thank you very much. 2 weeks ago, Blaise shared, well, I will never forget it because it's about soccer. He shared something that we as a church are a team, you know, like, and there's, well, in a team there are individuals, but you all need to work together, you know. And one line that stood out to me, and that was also for me, okay, I'm going to talk about this because first I want to share something else. He said, "You have no idea what an impact an encouragement has." That's one line he used, and I was like, this is very, like, strong. And last week, Becky shared, or a part was, that we shouldn't be focused on only ourselves, but we should be focused on other people. And I think that fits very, or that lines up with the thing I want to share today. It takes courage to encourage. And the first, because scripture is important, of course, like, how can we relate this to scripture? The first one is in John 14, verse 12. And it says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father." I was like, yeah, that's nice. Like, when I hear this all the time, I'm like, yeah, that's great. But I was thinking, like, imagine the person, like, if they're, you can meet, or, like, have coffee, or if you're a tea drinker, God bless your heart. You can meet with whoever you want, you know? Like, you can meet with whoever you want, even, well, let's say, like, people who are not around anymore, but you can meet with, like, who is that person? Like, who do you want to spend time with at Coffee Lovers or Laplace, drink some coffee because they don't have tea? But who is that person? And that person, like, is very great. For me, example, for as a musician or as a drummer, it would be Aaron Spears. Like, or as a worship leader, would, for me personally, would be Brian and Katie Thorwald or Israel Houghton. Like, I would spend time with them. But if they would say, like, and even greater works, you know, like, you will do greater works than me, I was like, that's not possible. You know, like, you guys are amazing. But God is, like, or Jesus telling this us that we will do even greater things. Like, I think that's probably the biggest encouragement we could get. You know, so keep that one in mind. The second one is 1 Samuel 30 and then verse 6. Yeah, this was... Well, I'll read it first. "David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. That was in the time that they did go out, they would fight, and the enemy came and they killed they took all their wives and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him." You know, I don't go into detail, but it's very painful. "But David found strength in the Lord." You know, that means he found encouragement in God. I have another one. You can read that at home because it's very long, it's longer. It's John 15 and then verse 9 until 17. There you see also that God is talking about love, and if we fulfill the commandments, or at least like putting effort in the commandments, that we will do great things. And I think as a church we should have like a foundation of encouragement. We should always, like, wherever we go, you know, we should always have like a backpack, or we should wear a backpack full of encouragement, however we feel. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm not happy, that Annelies doesn't need to be happy, for example. You know, that's not how it goes. And I think it's with everyone. You should try to encourage people all the time. But encouragement finds its roots, yeah, thank you, in love. You know, and I think this church has a lot of love in its foundation. Because whenever people are leaving for a while, you know, or they're going like permanently away, they always say there's so much love over here. Like, people are so humble. This is such a great family. So I think if there's love, you know, we should work at least on encouragement. And maybe you think, like, I'm already doing a great job. That's awesome, you know, but we all can grow. So we can keep on going. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. There we read, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know, be someone who encourages other people. I've read the book Resolution for Men. Was last year. I think it's one of the best books I've ever read. It's talking about manhood and that kind of stuff. You have also the one for women. And there you see what an impact and encouragement can have on a man's life. He has two stories. And the one is like when the dad is raised very well. And like the father is encouraging and showing a lot of love. And the other one is the same guy with the same father. But the father discouraged like and abuses his child all the time. And then you see the influence on the child and the outcome of the child. And when I was reading it, it was very emotional because it's so true. So I think especially in families, you know, like when you see like a father or a mother maybe struggle, you know, encourage that person because the parent is going to feel better, which makes the kids feel better. The kids look up to the parents. And when the kids grow up, they'll take all the good stuff from their parents, you know. So you will influence a family, but you never know. Maybe you'll influence a country or a nation just because one encouragement. So be aware of power of words, you know. Why can it be so hard? Why can it be very hard to encourage? Because maybe that's not in your DNA, or even for me, I still need to work on it, you know. One of the things, I have two things. There are maybe more, but these are the two that I have, you know. We need to get rid of ourselves, and we need to honor the other person. We need to take a lower position. We need to take a lower position. That can be very hard from time to time. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It's not always like that. It's not always that you need to lower yourself, but most often it is. And maybe it's hard, you know, because you are going to admit that someone is as good as you in something, you know, or maybe he or she is even better, you know, that's even worse. Or maybe you think, well, if I'm encouraging or her encouraging too much, he or she is going to be more successful than I am. I just give you a spoiler alert, that's not really the mentality we should have. So this can be very hard, you know. And this first thing, we need to get rid of ourselves and put ourselves in a lower position when we encourage. And not only do we lower ourselves, but we are also more focused on the other person. When you encourage, like an encouragement has nothing to do with ourselves. It's 100% focused on the other person. And today in society, that's almost impossible that you focus on someone else and you don't get a benefit out of it. Like a lot of things are focused. Like if I do this, what do I get out of it? You know. But when you have an encouragement, you focus 100% on the other person. The next thing I want to share, and it's almost the end, so pay attention. It's like accept an encouragement. You know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe you've been through times or you haven't been raised in an environment where there is a lot of love or where you have been encouraged to do stuff. But we need to learn to accept an encouragement, you know, because, and I needed to learn it myself because people said, for example, and that's not to show off, but people said, like, yeah, you're a decent drummer. Or no, they said, you're a good drummer. I said, I can play drums, you know. And then, yeah, but you're a little, and I was like, no, I'm not good, you know. Like, I'm just doing whatever I can. But then I was reading a book, and the guy said, when you reject, or in some way he said, like, when you reject an encouragement, you say it in a way that God didn't make his creation good enough. So you need to accept the encouragement. Accept encouragement. Don't be arrogant. Don't say, yes, of course I'm good. You know, what are you talking about? I know all this. Because then you're being arrogant, and that's what I put on there. You know, the only thing arrogance leads to is a heart fall, and it draws you back from God.